Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Friday, the 20th day in May of 2022. I'm your host, Michael Kimmett, bringing you four of the most crucial current events in cyber and technology that you need to hopefully end your week. Work week, that is. And we're going to start with the Department of Justice in the United States. The Department of Justice has changed the way that it prosecutes cybercrime. Previously, a lot of cybersecurity researchers had to be very cautious because in order to conduct security, sometimes you have to hack the thing that you're trying to secure. And according to the DOJ's policies, hacking is illegal. Well, now the DOJ is separating what they call good faith security research from ill-intended hacking. And this means that the new policies would allow software testing, security flaw analysis, and network breaches that are intended to promote the security and safety of target devices or networks. And according to the DOJ, the attorney for the government should decline prosecution if the available evidence shows the defendant's conduct consisted of and the defendant intended good faith security research. Now, this is being hailed as a boom for cybersecurity researchers because they want to continue their efforts. They're being paid by companies to do these things. But for the other side of the fence, the criminal side, there are a lot of tools that we know are used in hacking that are allowed to be sold and distributed solely for the purposes of hacking under the guise that they are for educational or in this case, it could be rebranded to say that these are only intended to be used for good faith security reasons, yet we see them crossing the fence. It's a fine line, and attorneys for the government are going to have to prove that it was more malicious than they have in the past. We're going to move on to Conti. Lot of news about the Conti ransomware group who was holding the Costa Rican government hostage and trying to overthrow the president in order to earn $20 million. And amidst this high-profile attack, apparently all of their data leak and ransom negotiation sites are still online, but all of the tools that they use behind the scenes are being decommissioned or taken offline, suggesting that the group is disbanding. And that comes as very shocking news. And researchers have said that this is intentional and that the Costa Rica attack is intended to create a, quote, facade of a live operation while a lot of the members slowly move and migrate to other ransomware groups or retire. Other researcher groups have said that this is actually just a smoke and mirror so that they can, they being Conti, rebrand into a different ransomware group to help avoid law and detection and help stay anonymous in their activities. And Conti's gone through a lot this year with all of their internal chats being leaked, some of their members being outed in the public in terms of who they are and what they do. And so it looks like they're trying to figure out how to stay active, obviously, with a known attack going on against the Costa Rican government, while also staying, as far as their criminal activity, safe from law enforcement, prosecuting hacktivists, for example, and those who would seek to do them harm amidst their obviously nefarious activities. While the members of the Conti ransomware group try to figure out how to stay safe from law enforcement or continue their operations for different matters and means, ransomware will continue, and this is highlighted by an attack against a media publishing giant, Nikkei. Now, Nikkei is disclosing that their Asian headquarters in Singapore was hit by a ransomware attack on the 13th of May, so just 7 days ago. And the affected servers in this attack, according to them, may have contained customer data. And they're still in the process of figuring out the nature and how large or scoped or targeted this particular attack was in terms of the assets that may have been stolen, including customer data. So no one may be notified for some time, but this is really nice on the part of the firm, Nikkei, who apologized for any inconvenience and took responsibility for the attack despite being a victim. And so we see one company trying to do things the right way amidst an ever-growing world where ransomware is super common and could impact networks that are unprotected and or that have employees who allow phishing or insider threats. We're going to stay and talk about Asian threats. While Singapore might be the victim of ransomware, we're going to fly back to Canada and how they're dealing with threats out of the Asian continent. Now, in this case, Canada is following the lead of some other countries around the globe, and they are actually banning the use of Huawei and ZTE telecommunications equipment in both their 5 and 4G networks. This comes amidst fears from the Canadian government that ZTE and Huawei could be compelled by the Chinese government under Chinese law to provide data to the Chinese government, which could include data very sensitive to the Canadian government and the people of Canada. 5G and 4G networks are used to conduct business, to use your cell phone, to operate the internet, and having details of everyone's internet traffic, internet activity, and the data that crosses those networks is something that could absolutely be used to spy on individuals. And so, Canada has made these intentions to remove equipment by 2024 from 5G networks. That includes all equipment from Huawei and ZTE. And now there is a lot of Huawei and ZTE equipment that supports legacy 4G networks. And so because that can be very expensive and costly, the Canadian government is giving companies in Canada and the government until 2027. So 5G, no ZTE or Huawei after 2024. 4G, no Huawei or ZTE after 2027. And so this is absolutely a continuation of some fears. And while some thought that then President of the United States Trump was drumming up a lot of fear about the Chinese nation and how they might operate their companies globally, we see countries like our neighbors to the north, Canada and the United States, following suit because this is a legitimate concern based on how Chinese law works. And so we will be interested to see what companies replace Huawei and ZTE. But just know that who manufactures your equipment absolutely matters in the context of how your data can be queried legally and support spying efforts potentially in other countries. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all so very much. Have a fantastic and outstanding Friday. Have a safe weekend. Stay healthy, stay strong, and we'll see you bright and early on Monday. Until then, Michael Kimmett signing off. Ciao. Welcome back, listeners. Today's tip of the cap goes to three women who won the American Chemical Society and Brazilian Chemical Society Awards. They respectfully earned the 2022 Brazilian Women in Chemistry Awards. Ohara Augusto of the University of Sao Paulo, Thais Garantini of Lencho Flora, and the Carolina Horta Andrade of the Federal University of Goas. So to you ladies, a sincere tip of the cap for your outstanding efforts in the field of chemistry, showing that not only can women conduct these jobs at high levels, at very educational levels, at very good business levels, also supporting your communities in a very safe manner in order to pursue the field of chemistry. So sincere tip of the cap, and please keep on chemistrying.